And thank you for singing. That was beautiful. That was beautiful. Isn't it wonderful to have a church that just you can move right in and be in the presence of God? You know, not everybody has that. It's wonderful to have a church where we can speak revelation all the time. Not every church has that. You know, and so I honor this message and what came to us through Pastor Roberson when he beat me into the prayer closet on Friday nights, years and years and years ago. You know, and I'd ask him, isn't this enough? He goes, and I, every time I come up to with a question, he'd go back into the prayer closet. Back, and he said, one day you'll thank me for this. Go back into the prayer closet. Isn't that right?
That's right.
That's right. We all know it. Hallelujah. Because if we don't develop that discipline in our soul, we never would have got to where we can see things in the Spirit. Hallelujah. And that's what it's all about. Pastor Roberson has discovered some keys. And the minute I met him and heard this message, it was dynamite for me. This has to go out to the world. This can't stay in this little bitty church in Tulsa, Oklahoma. It has to go out to the world. Amen? So I'm very grateful for this message. This message has changed my life personally. A lot of people, I think many of you also. It's changed your life. And, of course, that's done by the power of the Holy Ghost because we let him do it. Amen?
Amen?
Glory to God. Open up your Bibles to Ephesians 3, 9. This is my hallmark. Ephesians 3, 8, and 9. Paul is talking here. Unto me, he says, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. This is what I'm looking for. This is my goal, the fellowship of the mystery in all the world, that we'll all come to know this revelation gift of praying in tongues, that we all might be able to walk in the revelations of the Word of God, that we all might live with the Holy Spirit in an intimate relationship. Well, you know, like a lot of people, I can give my testimony that says what happened to me. I was fine in religion and just doing my own thing, working in the mission field, and then I came to this church. Daisy took me over and introduced me to Pastor Roberson. It was on a Friday night because this was the first time I'd ever been in Tulsa. And I was in a mission house up on 3rd Street. And they said, well, this guy, he prays. And they have prayer on Friday nights. So I said, that's good, because I don't like all that religious stuff they got in that town. I don't want to go to all those conferences. I don't want to get involved in all that stuff. I got plenty of work to do right where I'm at, you know. Just leave me alone and let me pray. And they said, well, you'll like this guy. He prays. So I came over here on Friday night, and everyone was praying. Hallelujah. And then I got hooked, you know. She introduced me to him, and he said, first thing came out of his mouth, you can be part of our family if you want to. My God, how did he know that? And he's been just, you know, reaching into my heart and giving me that word of knowledge. How did he know? How did he know I needed a church family? How did he know I needed to be accepted? How did he know that I needed to get deeper into the Word of God? And he hasn't quit since. He messed up my life terrible. I didn't go on the same path anymore. Things started happening. You know, that's his testimony. That's all of our testimony. Because when God gets involved, things start happening, like it or not. And praise God, he knows our heart and he knows what we need. And he'll lead and guide us into all truth. Isn't that wonderful? Hallelujah. So now I'm out with this message. And I am an ambassador sent to Peru, South America. That's my country. I'm not exactly sure of all of why I'm there, except that I know that I'm supposed to be there and ministering to all of the churches. I've been doing it for 28 years now, so that's a long time. That's most of my life, at least my Christian life, my spiritual life. Hallelujah. And Peru is the westernmost country in South America. It's the most ancient country in South America. All of Peru used to be the Inca Empire. The Americas in ancient times was the Aztec, the Maya, and the Inca Indians way back. That was about the time they were sacrificing children over there in Canaan land. And when God sent the Israelites to take over and gave it to them, same thing was happening in South America. They were sacrificing children. The only difference between the three cultures back then was one was sacrificing babies up here in the north, abortions, human sacrifice. Also, the Mayas were sacrificing, and the Incas to their sun god. They would take the young people and cut out their hearts and drink their blood and do terrible things. Awful. But they were all doing this to their gods. And God raises up an enemy and wipes out those cultures. Hallelujah. We have a God that's just. Isn't that wonderful? But some of those things get ingrained in people, in their souls and in their culture. So in Peru, we have deep roots that go back to these times, and the people still practice some of these things. They still have festivals. A lot of the tourism is based on this kind of thing, where they put on masks and dress up like demons, and they go through these acts. Even in their culture, they take a llama, one of the national animals, and cut him open and use his blood and sprinkle it on the ground to make their crops grow, and other things which I don't want to mention, but hallelujah. They've come a long way, and they're coming out of it. But it takes time to change a culture. It takes time to change a large people group. And little by little, thanks to all of you and your prayers, we have been able to make major changes that I've seen in the 28 years I've been in Peru. And it's wonderful. And one of them is right here, where it says, the Fellowship of the Mystery. That's my part. I get to join all the brothers and sisters in the country all over in the different cities and introduce them to the Fellowship of the Mystery. What's the mystery? The mystery is our gospel. Hallelujah. The mysteries that we get from the revelation gift are incredible and marvelous. We've seen them in Pastor Dave's life, and we've seen them operating in our own life. And like I said, this is a very rich church that we've had the opportunity to live in revelation knowledge all the time. And now we have the seven keys, or the seven pillars, or the seven branches of the tree, the seven, which I teach as a basis for walking in the Spirit and entering into this fellowship. And it's a wonderful help. That is praying in tongues, first of all. Meditation and assimilation of the word, which is the most incredible revelations that change pastors' lives when they're able to get off the foundation of the Old Testament, get onto the New Testament, get in our covenant. And this is all because, you know, Pastor Dave spent a lot of time with us to get us walking in this direction. We had to undo some things from our past. I was brought up Roman Catholic, so I had some things to undo. I live in a Roman Catholic country, so, you know, they have that same influence. God knows what he's doing to put people together. Hallelujah. But meditation and assimilation will get you on the right path to digging out the truth and receiving the truth from the Word of God. I love meditation and assimilation. I love the practice of praying in tongues and assimilating the Word of God. The revelations that come forth from that are continuous and marvelous. And the pastors, once they get going on this, are so excited, because then we get this fellowship where we can start talking about the revelations that are coming forth, and we get excited about the Word of God. Now I'm seeing it happen. Hallelujah, because of that promise where he said, you shall go forth and you shall bear fruit, and your fruit shall remain. your fruit shall remain. That means we've got the truth because our fruit is remaining. For a long time, I was in a little bit of doubt and fear about that. But then it started coming forth, and now I'm excited. I really am, because we've got groups of people in each one of the cities that I've been to that are actually walking in the Spirit, meditating and assimilating the Word, and going into these seven keys. One of the other keys is private worship. If we hadn't have been directed to go that way, we wouldn't have the love of God that we have right now operating in us. Of course, these things we can have on any level. You know, we can learn them and have them on a fellowship level, and a lot of people do. Christians that love God, of course, want to worship God and fellowship with Him. But the thing that's different about our message is going deeper. When we pray in tongues for hours, days, forever. And when we also get into private worship, we have to get past those impasses. We know that from praying in tongues, because you'll go so far in praying in tongues and you'll run across this impasse in your life. And I've seen it happen to all of them. And they start flying apart like a cheap watch. That's Dave's saying here. But it's true. It's very difficult to get past some of those impasses, the blocks and things that we've got in our lives. Each one of us has different things that we've got to overcome. But once we're on that trail, you know, the devil can't stop us. It's us that stops us. We just have to decide to lay it down and go on. And a lot of people do. You know, some people go until it's comfortable and then I'm out of here. But hallelujah. We've learned to persevere. So we have an endurance church, don't we? Hallelujah. And when we have a group of people that can endure like that, we're going to have success. We're going to see revival. Hallelujah. God, I'm excited inside. This is wonderful. Another key is confession. We know what that is. We also know that's one of the major keys, is that confession brings possession, right? One of my spiritual daughters in Peru, when I went to Peru, I had two girls that came to me. I saw them in the spirit before I went there. And these two little girls were just, you know, little brown Latin girls. And they came running up to me and started just being like my family. Their families were very poor down there. They didn't have a home. She said, "Can we come live with you? Can we work with you? Can we be with you?" And I said, "Of course." So I had two helpers right away, and those two girls have been with me now for 28 more years. Eliana came when she was 15, and Carmen was 13, and we lived together, and I raised them, and we went on mission trips together down the Amazon and up the hills and over the Dale, everywhere, all over Peru together, and they're still very strong in the Lord. The only problem is, if they don't go to our church, it's very hard for them to find another church that's like our church, which walks in revelation knowledge and so forth. So, but it's getting bigger and bigger now. The Lord gave me a vision of the message here. And in this vision, I don't know if you can relate this. I'm going to try to relate it to you. In the Amazon, which is Iquitos, Peru, the Amazon rainforest of Peru is very big. It's a large, just trees forever and ever and ever and ever. I started out there and did 8.5 years there, and then we moved to the high jungle and then to the cities. This was when I first went there. When I first went there, I was doing medical work. My title is a physician assistant, and I did medical attention, along with planting churches, along with everything else. So, let's see. We went out on the rivers. And we went to the tribal people. But in Iquitos, there is a culture of people that lives on the water. And they have floating houses. And in this vision, I saw one of the floating houses. And it was docked on land. The floating houses have big tree logs underneath them. And when the river is low, they get beached. And they just stay there on land. But when the river comes up, which it comes up rather high, it can rise 50, 80 feet, it'll take the house, and then they can float out on the river and live on the water. In this vision, I saw a house being moved from the river onto dry land. And in the vision, I said, "What is that, Lord?" And he said, "This is the foundation that you're going to bring to Peru. You're going to move the foundation rolling on these logs onto another foundation that's on solid ground." I said, "Thank you, Jesus." And that's what this message does. It'll take people that are in religion. It'll take people that are bound up in ancient things or other places. And it'll move them onto right foundation, solid ground. And what a blessing. What a blessing to be able to bring this. Because we're walking in the scriptures, in the revelation knowledge of the scriptures, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We can't. Jesus didn't do everything by himself. He had the Holy Ghost and the Father with him. And so, you know, a lot of people, they'll stop short. A lot of churches, they'll stop short. They'll take one doctrine or another doctrine, and they'll say, "This is good," and camp on it. And then they don't go far enough to go into the Holy Ghost. Because you need to have the Holy Ghost. Jesus needed to have the Holy Ghost. We need to have the Holy Ghost. So once you introduce them to the ministry of the Holy Spirit, then they want it. Hallelujah. That's one thing nice about the Latin culture. They're hungry. I love it. I love it. It's wonderful to preach to hungry people. You know, they just can't get enough. Hallelujah. Well, I've had several visions, you know, that I would pray in tongues for a long time. I get revelation knowledge, and then I get visions. Another vision that I relate to many of the people, it's good when you go to another culture. Now, there are three cultures in Peru. There's the coastal cities, which are big cities. They speak Spanish. Educated people. And then immediately, the coastal area is all desert. There's no trees, just desert. But then immediately it rises to the Andes Mountains, which are very, very high. 10,000, 12,000, 15,000 feet. Up there you get high altitude mountain sickness. Breathe. You can't breathe too well up there. So they chew on cocoa leaves to expand their red blood cells so they can get enough oxygen to carry their loads and do their daily work. Because they carry these big 100-pound sacks of potatoes that they grow up there in the mountains. Up there in the mountains they have the Quechua people, which are the direct descendants of the Incas, and they are interesting folk. They speak Quechua, not only in Peru, but in Bolivia, Ecuador, all the countries around on the coastal area, in the Andes, in the high mountains, are the Quechua people. They're the native tribes, tribal people, and they are, they have their own culture. Ladies wear hats, smoke pipes. Interesting. They worship with a harp with only three strings on it, and they managed to come up with beautiful music. It's wonderful. Really from the heart. I love the common, simple folk. It's really a joy to work with them. So, when I talk to the Quechua people, I talk in their language with their word pictures so they can relate to it. When I talk to the Amazon people, which is on the other side of the mountains, in the low jungle, in the rainforest, they are a totally different culture. They are the tribal people. They have, you've probably seen them with the spears and the blowguns and, you know, very little clothes. I forgot about that one day, and I introduced a pastor to a whole tribe of women. I forgot they don't have any clothes on. So as the boat's approaching the village, I'm going, he asked me, "Do they have clothes on?" I go, "Oh my God." And I just kind of sunk down. And then here they come, just, you know, with all their beads and everything to sell. And, you know, we don't think anything of it because that's the culture, you know. And there isn't any embarrassment or anything because that's just the way they live. Of course, we wouldn't do that here. And my pastor was from here and I should have prepared him, but you will. Anyway. So I tell him about my experience with the Holy Ghost. I tell them, we have on the Amazon River, we have big boats, little boats. There are no roads, only boats. You fly into the city, which is isolated from the rest of the world because there's no roads. And you get on the big boats and you can go anywhere up and down the Amazon River. So the big boat will take you to the major villages or the parts in the river that where it joins other rivers. And then you take a smaller boat and a smaller, and the canoes are their, like their little school buses that take the kids to school. Everybody has their little individual canoe. So the Amazon culture is different. So when I talk to the people in Iquitos, where I've been the longest period of time in the Amazon jungle, river basin, I tell them how I met the Holy Spirit. I was on a launch, which is one of the big boats, in my hammock, which is slung over all the produce and the fish and everything that they market, bringing back and forth on the river. And these are long trips. These are trips that take 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, up to 6 weeks. You know, just monotonous going on the river. And the motors are chugging, you know, big loud motors there next to you. And I was in my hammock, and this is what I'll tell them, because this is my experience. And I went into a vision, and I explained what a vision is. And when I went into the vision, I had taken my team. At that time, I was doing medical attention. We had a team of, I don't know, anywhere from 5 to 12, 15 people, and a lot of plastic containers that had my medicines in them. And so in the vision, I was in my hammock, and then all of a sudden, I was heard the announcement that we have arrived in the village. So I got out of my hammock, but now I'm in a vision, remember? And I went to the shore, and I found that when we got off the shore, unloaded the whole team and all of the plastic containers, all the Tupperwares, and they call them Tuppers, that the river bank, the river was very low and the bank was very high. And I said, oh my gosh, how are we going to get up there? And all of a sudden, I heard this beautiful, soft voice, kind of like Pastor Roberson. It said, I'll help you. And he reached down with his hand, and that was the helper. And because I was asking when I was in the hammock, I said, oh, I have such a hard time figuring out who you are. How do I talk to you? Are you really a ghost? I mean, I'm having trouble relating to you, Holy Spirit. Tell me. And then, of course, he revealed himself to me in this vision. And then he lifted me up by the hand, and we went on the top, where it was a grassy knoll. In all of the villages in the Amazon, you'll find like a football field, a soccer field, and then the houses built around it. And he set me up on the grass. And I noticed that this was not a normal place, because when I put my foot into the grass parted on its own before my foot hit the ground. And then I took another step and it did that again. And then I looked at the trees and all the trees turned around and started going like this, like they were waving their hands at me. And all the flowers turned around and pointed their faces right at me. So it was like all of creation was there for me. And I'm like, this is not a normal place. And then I heard that wonderful soft voice, and he said, do you want to see? You want to take a look around? I said, oh, yes. He said, let me show you the well of living water. And he brought me over to a well, and I lifted up the water that came out. There was like a faucet. It was made out of stone, and there was a faucet. And the water came down, and I took a drink of water like this, and it was crystal clear and so sweet. It was just wonderful, refreshing water. And I noticed as it went through my fingers, it went around and right back into the faucet. Living water. So I'm telling the people about these things, and I said, don't be afraid of visions when God gives you a vision, because many times God speaks in visions. He speaks in dreams. He speaks through the word. God is trying to get across to us in many, many different ways. And this way that I can relate to the people, then they relax a little bit about the ghost, the Holy Ghost, and all that kind of thing, you know. And They can begin to relate to God as a person, as a friend, as their father, and that's where we want them to be. So by the visions and by the teaching of the keys, then we've got people coming into a faith walk with God. Faith is very important. Fortunately, in America, we have a good foundation of faith, but not everybody does. There's a lot of churches up north that don't have a good faith foundation. They're more fundamentalist, but I think that it's very, very important also to deliver that faith message. And so confession brings that in and other things. And my girls, of course, are trained in the same thing. So now my joy, my absolute joy, is to see the younger generation, the Nathans and the others, my girls out there preaching the word, and then these pastors raising up others also to preach the word and deliver this. I wrote this book, Spiritual Maturity, Six Levels of Spiritual Growth, little, so it doesn't bother people too much to read it, and doesn't get too fat. And this is just kind of an overview. That's something I can put in their hands, in their language, Spanish, to help them walk in the Spirit. So the purpose of us is to get of our calling as ambassadors of Christ and as missionaries, as preachers, is to get this word out so everybody is not afraid of the Holy Spirit. They can walk with the Holy Ghost. They can enter into the things of God and grow. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's look at the word a little bit tonight. Hebrews 12. Got your Bibles? Hallelujah. It's been a long time now, but the more I walk with the Lord, especially in these last few years, the more I'm finding the Holy Spirit directing me and how to move in the anointing. I never understood that. I watched others do it, but I never understood it. But it is a faith walk. So the more you step into God and step out and do things, the more he adds himself to you and makes you look good and does things for you and lifts us up and carries us from place to place. So I'm seeing a lot more miracles. I'm seeing a lot more of the hand of God moving. And one thing he told me was always encourage the people and give them hope. And that's always a necessary thing. God is so loving and wonderful. And we do have people out there that think that God does bad things, and he doesn't do bad things. He's a good God. Amen? Hallelujah. Hebrews 12, 22. I'm just going to give you a few scriptures. 22 through 24. Wherefore, why is it there? Wherefore, lift up the hand. Oh, wait a minute. Am I right? Nope. Where are you? Oh, over here. Oh, 12:20. I'm at 12:12. That's why. 12:22. Okay, but you are come, yes, unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. Can you picture that? To the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. That really impressed me. To the spirits of just men made perfect. I've had the honor of knowing many pastors that have stepped into the walk of the Spirit, and these are wonderful men of God and women of God who have given their lives for the gospel, but now they're coming into a walk where the Holy Ghost has added himself to them, and they understand, they're getting revelation from the meditation and assimilation, they're confessing the word, they're coming into that place where they're actually growing, and we're seeing much fruit, and it's all a process over time. And when it says to the spirits of just men made perfect, that means that these people are being perfected. The work of the Holy Spirit, ministry of the Holy Spirit, is to sanctify us by mortification, edification, building us up on our most holy faith, as it says in Jude. And this process of perfection isn't overnight, but it's working in us. And like Pastor Dave has mentioned many times, it's a sovereign path. And we need to recognize that not just the cross. The cross is not the object of mortification, for instance, to die to self. But the path to get there is also sovereign. So tongues is in the Bible. It is the way that God has chosen to bring forth revelation knowledge and to work this work in our spirit. And a lot of people just don't know these things, so we tell them. Hallelujah. We give them the scriptures and they're able to walk it out and prove it for themselves. And I love it. I love to see the pastors that have so many times been in a denomination, and they'll come and they'll sit in the back. Now, they don't believe in tongues. They don't believe in any of this, you know. They'll come and they'll sit in the back and observe and observe and observe. And I don't know some of them how many meetings they've been to, but then after a while when they decided, yep, that's it. You know, you see them in the prayer line, because at the end of every service we make a call for the baptism in the Holy Ghost, because that was my instructions. He said, Christine, you go and get, and pray for them for the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and I'll do the rest. Oh, okay, that's a deal. So that's what I do, and I make an altar call, and anybody who wants to receive the Holy Ghost, this is the time to do it, and they come up. And some of those pastors that have been waiting and the people that have been in observing, they're finally ready and they made decisions. So I love it because I don't have to do anything, just deliver it. And they come and they go. And then when the Lord meets him, then the Lord comes up with a word of knowledge, visions, all kinds of things. He just starts ministering, and that's wonderful. It's wonderful to see God minister. The first time I saw God minister here, I was shocked. You know, I think it was a lady that had a heart condition or something. And she just came just, you know, 20, 30 feet from Pastor Roberson. And then he saw it and he called it. And she got a new heart. You know, and lots of miracles. How many miracles have we seen here? So many miracles. We are so, so privileged to walk with God like this. In fact, I almost was, you know, a little bit worried that people weren't honoring enough the presence of the Holy Ghost, because we saw the Holy Ghost so much here. We just seen so many miracles and wonderful things. Well, it's almost commonplace to us, and it should never be commonplace. But it's wonderful. And so I'm learning now. I'm learning these things, walking in a foreign country. One of the most beautiful things that happened to me was when a group came down. Of course, we're talking about Latin American people in a Latin country. I know a little bit about the culture. But we were in the Amazon, where we have native people that don't know anything about anything. Most of them are not saved. Most of them have never heard of the Holy Spirit. And there was an invitation. This group of people, I think it was five or six pastors from different countries, Costa Rica, Mexico, got together. And we had rented a coliseum, and all the pastors got together. One thing I like about Iquitos, because they're so isolated, they have a unity in the churches there. So when something's happened, it's like a small town. Everybody knows about it, and they all come out for it. They want to know what's going on, and that's wonderful. So we were in this coliseum, and there must have been about 4,500 or 5,000 people there. It was a big group, and people from all over, people in native dress, people poor, people rich, just people, all people from there. But most of them had not had much experience with the Holy Ghost. And this group came in, everything got quiet, and they all raised their hands to God, to heaven, like we were when we came into the service tonight. And we were all in one accord. Oh, watch out when you get all in one accord. It's so beautiful. So they were all in one accord, and they raised their hands, and they said, Father God, would you baptize us in the Holy Spirit? And all these people that had come down from their seats and were standing up on this floor together, all kind of tightly knit, over 4,000 people, almost all of them had come down for this call. And when that prayer went forth, I saw the ceiling opened up. And I saw seven angels come down from heaven. And these angels swooped down over the crowd, and all, the whole bunch of them went on the floor. They all hit the ground. They didn't know what happened to them. And they all got baptized, and the Holy Ghost woke up speaking in tongues. They didn't know what it was. But they were all speaking in tongues. My girls were down there, and I was like, yeah. And I saw the angels flying around, and one of them came close to me and just smiled at me, like to say, did you like that? I said, oh, yeah. So God does do sovereign things. He's going to do this with all of those people groups that we don't know. Just God is so wonderful. He can reach people in a multitude of different ways. Hallelujah. We have a big God, and he wants this. And if we put ourselves in agreement, I really think that it's all going to come very quickly. I really do. A lot of it because we know revival's coming, you know, this different revival that we've been talking about, where we all come together in that unity of the faith. Glory to God. So what's happening? What's happening in the mission field from out there, looking in here, is we've got a new generation coming up, the generation that has this message, that is able to walk in it. Hallelujah. So there's not quite as much resistance. We've got people who know how to walk in the Spirit. We've got the Faith Foundation and others. We got people starting to walk and move onto this new foundation. Remember the house on rollers, on logs, that has moved onto a different. The Lord showed me that when this happens, when we finally got onto this foundation, he can start moving exponentially outward, you know, and taking big areas. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Woo! Let's praise him for a minute. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you, I thank you, I thank you for what you're doing throughout the earth, Lord God. Have your way, Holy Ghost. Come on, come on into all the churches and all the nations. Have your way, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We give you praise and honor and glory. Thank you, Jesus. More miracles, more power, Lord. More people. Hallelujah. Let them all come in, Lord God. Thank you for my new brothers and sisters, Lord God, being born again every day. Thank you, Jesus, for the power of the Holy Ghost going out every day. In every place, Lord, big and small. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So I don't hold back when I go out to a place, when I'm invited to go out to a place. You know, they don't believe in women preachers, but it doesn't matter. I go anyway. And when I'm there, they listen anyway, and they're excited about it. And then afterwards, they find out I was a woman, I guess. I don't know how that works, but... But anyway, it happens, and glory to God. In between the services, they get kind of excited, you know, about what God's doing. So they said, would you come over to so-and-so's house and pray for them? You know, you know that because you go to Africa, right? And that's what they do. They like to make use of you while you're out there, so they'll use you up, really, no? And they want you to go here, and they want you to go there and all over. And sometimes the most wonderful things happen when you're in these positions where you're in someone's house. You have to go up a mountain and down a trail, and you go to someone's house, and you find two demonized young girls sitting there on the bed. And they've been deaf-mute for, you know, 3 years. And then we start to pray and intercede. This happened with Donner, Dave's sister. We started to intercede for them, these two girls. One was like 13, the other one was 15, something like that. And we started to pray. They started to move out of their twisted position. Their hair was matted. They were twisted up like that. and they started to, you can tell when you're talking to demons and stuff, you know, that the demons hear you, they know exactly what you're doing. So you end up in kind of a conversation with these devils, and you tell them they don't have a right to be there, and they need to go, and their time's up, and so forth. So they start kicking and screaming and carrying on a bit, and you know, that just makes us a little bit more excited, and so we just keep going until they're delivered. And so the older sister came out and began to look up, and you could see her eyes clearing. This is the first time that she had looked up and seen her eyes clearing in over 3 years. And then we just kept saying, Jesus loves you, Jesus loves you, ministering the love of God. And she began to come out. And then we had her confessing, you know, that Jesus is Lord and that Jesus loves her and so forth. And she came out of it. And then she was actually sitting upright on the bed. And then she looked over at her sister like, what about my sister? Well, okay. So we went for the little one, and she was a little bit tougher, but we, you know, took authority over the devils. After working in the Amazon, confronting lots of witch doctors, casting out lots of devils, confronting a lot of disease, you just know where you stand, okay? And they know you, and you know them, so there's no questions about it. Got to go. So little sister knew that that was her time, and she came out of it. And I found out that those two girls had ran away from home, and they were in the streets, and they were raped and abused, and that's how these demons got in. And now they have a normal life. Hallelujah. The other thing was, they were from the Quechua culture, which believes that children should be workhorses and not children. So these two girls had never had any affection in their house either. That's why they ran away from home in the first place, because the parents would beat them when they didn't work and so forth. So we had a reunion with the parents to hug on their children. Now go over there and hug your little girl. She's back. And they went like they didn't know how to do it. They didn't know how to embrace and love and hold on to their little child. And finally, the work of the Holy Ghost and the restoration and the love of God brought them back as a family. Those kinds of things never leave me. I mean, it's wonderful when you see that kind of, these are lives that are changed. These are humans that God cares about, people. And who knows what's going to happen to them later in life? Who knows? But I know that they'll never be the same. They'll always know that God is real. I believe before Jesus comes, that he's going to make himself known like this to every person on earth. I really believe that. That even as far away as they are right now, he's going to make himself known. And whether they can choose to reject him if they want to. I've seen people raise their fists dying, you know, and curse God. And I feel terrible for them, but, you know, there's free will choice, so you can do that. But I believe he's going to make himself known to everybody. That's my God. Hallelujah. Woo! Yes, thank you, Jesus. So, what is our message? Our message is that fellowship of the mystery, the seven keys, and to just, I think it's obedience in this hour. It's just learning to hear him. Because for a long time we were working on that, right? Just learning to hear him. That's why we pray in tongues, to develop the ear of the Spirit. And then once you hear him, then you're going to have to obey him. And that obeying him can be tough sometimes. Because he'll ask you to do things that's a little not used to doing that, like that. But praise God, he knows what he's doing. And if we will obey him to the T, he will do it. He will do it. He's never failed me yet, so I don't think he's going to fail any of us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Okay. Isn't he wonderful? Hallelujah. And I always give hope. Let me read. There's been recently I believe a word. Even though I haven't lived here at the church, I received the tapes, cassettes, teachings, prophecies the whole time, the whole 28 years without fail. Honor to Pastor Tim for doing such an excellent job of getting this out to the world. It was available 20 years ago, and it's available now to everybody. And so we can tell them to go on the website to get Dave's book and Gary Carpenter's website. It's all open and available free of charge, so anybody can go. Problem with us is we speak Spanish. Bienvenidos todos y disculpa que muchas cosas ya no tiene todavía, pero va a venir. Okay, I just told them we're going to get it in Spanish. I'm working on getting a Spanish website up so that they'll be able to have access to all of the materials and teachings, because those materials are what brought me to this place where I can minister to others and bring it out to others. I think it's very important. But not only that, we have technology now that you can get a translator on the internet. Isn't that wonderful? So, I mean, even though it's not perfect, a lot of people can go into some of the English-speaking websites and get a general idea, you know, of what's going on and what the teachings are about. And that's important. And by the way, I want you to pray for these things, because it takes money to print that book. I need the book in Spanish because it's hard to teach it when it's not there. So, hallelujah, I need these gospel entrepreneurs to step forward and pool their money and get those Spanish printing of the Spanish book that we can bring down there and do it. I go through a lot of sacrifice to get it there. I only have two suitcases I can take back, 50 pounds apiece, and I stuff them with books, you know. So I'll do all I can, and anybody else that's coming down to that wants to bring books or ship books or what, shipping is very expensive. I don't know, there's always a way to do things, but anyway, you know, they're trying to send one barrel to Africa, right? What does it cost? $600 for one barrel packed full of Dave's books. Hallelujah. Yeah, in Bibles, and, you know, yeah. These things are going all the time out there, Pastor Dave. You don't know what you started. I mean, it's a race. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, it's a big help. John, one of the prophecies that I have been picking up on lately, I don't know if it's a prophecy or what, but the word I'm getting is stick to John 14, 15, 16, and 17. Is that where you guys are? See, we're on the same page all the time. We are. I don't know how that happened, but thank God. So let me go over a couple of scriptures in John 15. All of our message is right here in those chapters. And I love it because they're powerful. And this is where we preach from. John 15, 16. Hallelujah. Where are we? You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Hallelujah. That's a word for everybody out there that's doing missionary work. You will bear fruit. This message is solid. And God will open doors for you. This is our gospel. Hallelujah. John 15, 19. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. All those that are in persecuted countries, please take note, because the world is getting more and more dangerous every day. But I am assured, as through the word of knowledge, prophecy come forth all the time, that I will be in dangerous areas and positions. In Africa, there are many Muslim countries around where you go. The world is not what it used to be when I started this 28 years ago. It's more dangerous now than it was before. Even in America, it's more dangerous than it was before. And we couldn't even picture that 5-10 years ago, that it would be like this, you know. So I know that it's fast approaching his coming. It's not long. It's right at the door. Just a few more things. I talked in the Christian bookstore today before we came here to an Hasidic Jew that I call a completed Jew because he accepted Jesus and preaches the gospel, but from his Jewish background. So he had the earlocks, you know, and the whole Jewish bit, the yarmulke and everything. And precious, precious man of God. Unfortunately, he was telling me of some persecution within his household because he married a girl that converted to Judaism to be a completed Jew with him, both believing in Christ and the gospel. But the rest of the Christians around him didn't accept him. Now, I would have rejoiced. Wow, the Jews are coming in. Yay, we're getting closer. This is it. Hallelujah. Because I've been praying for this. You know all the end time activity is going to end up right there in Jerusalem. And the Jews are going to, blinders are going to come off and they're going to come in. We're getting very, very close. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So everything we're doing in agreement with this word is one step closer. Glory to God. So, one of the principles we teach is you're not of the world. Now, that didn't go over too big in the Amazon because they believe in UFOs. Anyway, I tell them you're an alien. They go, oh, no. I said, well, you're not of this world. You're born from above. Jesus, you came from him. You're not your own. You were bought with a price. And I, oh, okay, okay, okay. So, finally, they get it, you know. But we're not of this world. We're different. The lines are kind of separating more and more. You're able to spot more of the sheep from the goats, aren't you? Yeah, it's getting clearer and clearer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you for the word, Lord. Back to 14:16. 14:16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Critical, everybody has the baptism in the Holy Ghost, knows who he is, what his ministry is, and that they can walk in communion with the Holy Spirit. That's power. You don't think we're going to get through these end times without some power on our side. We have got to have it because it's dangerous out there. Hallelujah. And I like the way he says it, give you another comforter. Our first comforter then was Jesus, wasn't it? Amen. And now the other comforter is here, the Spirit of Truth. And his job is all laid out in John 14 there. And that's what we preach from when we're teaching. Hallelujah. 16:33, John 16:33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Does that give you hope? It's already done. He's already overcome the world. When you take those words and you make them your own and you walk in it, it means a lot. Every word in the Bible, when it becomes revelation to us, and our own, makes everything come alive and everything change. And that's what I hope for, and that's what I believe God is doing as we bring this message out to everybody. Hallelujah. Let me say it one more time. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. How important is the supernatural peace of the Lord Jesus Christ when you're in a tense situation? Eliana right now is on the Colombian border in a terrorist territory called FARC, F-A-R-C. I don't remember what all the initials stand for, but it's the guerrillas that fight in the Colombian jungles. And mostly it's right there at where she is the drug crossing, where drugs cross from Colombia to try and bring them into Peru. And, of course, we don't want them in Peru. So they have a military base there, but Eliane got a teaching job there, and she left just 2 weeks ago. So I'm asking you to pray for her protection there. And we believe it's an open door because guess who hired her? The the mother of the convent and the Catholic Church to run the Christian school there. So Eliana's doing that. And I go, well, it's nice to be friends with the higher-ups in the Catholic Church. And she said, well, it doesn't matter that you're evangelical. You know, that's okay that you're a Christian. You know, of course, you know, they're Catholic. Catholic in South America is not like Catholic here. Catholic in South America means they believe in idols. They follow the idols. And it is idolatry down there. They parade down the streets with a dead Jesus in a coffin. They, you know, touch the cross and the relics, you know, believing that the power comes from that, and that's where their miracles come from. They don't know the living God until you're born again. Amen? So there has been a division between the Catholic Church and the Christians, a little bit of a war going on there. But now that's a little bit, I don't know, God's done a new thing. Hallelujah. And now we're coming together. We're saying, I respect you. You respect me. Let's talk about this, you know. And isn't that good? So now we have an open door. So pray for me and the others that are going in there to raise up some Christian churches and work with the Catholics there. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we need peace in these situations and be of good cheer. I love those words, good cheer. Because I have overcome the world. And we can rejoice in the middle of it. And that was the word I got the other day. Just when it comes, don't even worry about it. You'll just be glorifying God in the middle of it. Because why else would we need a demonstration of power unless there was some reason for it? Right? So it's okay that we have tribulation. That way you can specify this is black and this is white. This is the good guy and this is the bad guy. And that makes it a lot clearer and easier for a lot of folks. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Woo, I'm having fun up here. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, 17, 4 and 5. John 17, 4 and 5. Jesus is still praying. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. We know where Jesus is right now, don't we? Hallelujah. He's sitting on the throne, and he's well in charge and well able, and so is the Holy Spirit to handle anything that concerns us. Amen. Okay, 17:7. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them and have surely known that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I got a little note there about the DNA. The born-again trail revelation is incredible. When I first got that, it blew me away for months. I had to go back and chew on it and chew on it and chew on it to get the revelation out of that Pastor Dave had presented. And I want everybody to have that, but translating it is a bear into another language. But we're working on it. We're trying to get it out there. Hallelujah. But if they get the foundation of the born-again trail, and it's even hard to talk about that. Do you remember when Pastor Dave, I don't know how many here were there at the time that this revelation was presented, but he said, well, the Lord told me everything you'll ever want is on this path. Mm-hmm. And then he said, what else did he say? Oh, I don't know. There were several things, but when we start, it's like, I forget exactly how he said it, but it was like, people are not going to want to receive this because it's about being born again, and everybody knows about that. Why would you even be talking about that? We know that, you know. So we try to present it in such a way that, you know, they will get the revelation. and not be offended by the fact that it is about our salvation message. There's a lot of people that, he says, go out into all the world and preach the gospel, and they think they're doing it, but they're not doing it in the fullness of the knowledge, of salvation. Salvation is so, the born-again trail, the born-again man, that's what it's all about. But a lot of people still have not identified with that. Even though the gospel has gone out into all the world, it's kind of like, where was I? Well, the first group I went evangelizing with, they said, well, you just go over there, give them one of these tracts, and then you say the prayer with them, and they're saved. And I did that, but I said, something's missing here. Something is not quite enough, just to have them say those words. And so that's why we have to really love people. We have to get into this message, get into that deeper place with God so that we can make contact with them, because really it's the anointing, the love of God that's in you, that it brings them to the Lord. And it's your personal walk and witness with God as you walk through this message that gets other people to believe, just to believe, that there is more for them. Hallelujah. And there is more for them. And he really has overcome the world. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's give him a praise. Hallelujah. You don't mind, do you? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus, 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 Jesus. I love you. I love you. I love you. Thank you, Lord, for all my brothers and sisters. Thank you, Lord, for what you did. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you, Lord, for this generation coming forth. Thank you, Lord God, for looking down on us. Thank you for revival. Thank you for new life flowing in, Lord. All of the nations, we pray for the nations right now, and we lift them up to you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that we're moving with you. We have made a choice and a decision to move with you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for all you've done for us. Reveal us, Lord. Reveal to us all truth, Lord. We need you. We need you. Hallelujah. 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 Ura masania hala hama kasiana ya. Ooh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's go to the end of this chapter. It says in verse 25, chapter 17, O righteous Father, the world has not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them and I in them. Private worship is the key to this kind of relationship that we're looking for. It's going to bring in all the harvest. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know that Jewish fella in the store today, the Hasidic Jew, he said, the rabbis told me not to ever go in the New Testament, that that's where the persecution comes from against the Jews. And he said, well, earlier this year, he just got saved not too long ago. The Christian bookstore gave him a Bible, and he opened it up to the New Testament. And he said, you know what? It's not true what they said. And he said, and I've never met a Christian that doesn't have so much love. Our witness is going out, and that's what's bringing them home. Isn't that wonderful? Because you let God love you, because you let God into your heart and let him love on you, because you were willing to sit hours and hours in the presence of God and let him love on you, then you got filled. Then you got filled with the love of God. And then when you go out, they get to see that in your eyes, in your tone of voice, in your speech, in just good deeds, And that's what's winning them over. But hallelujah, we thank you, Lord. We thank you so much, Lord, for what you're doing, for these keys, for this message. Thank you for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit, you're with us all the time. Thank you, Jesus, you're available to do miracles even today. I'm believing for several people that I've seen in Peru, for Anna Claudia, who is in a wheelchair, looks just like our little kids here. Hasidic Jew today that is believing for a child after many years. God does these kinds of miracles all the time. And I thank you, Lord, that you're so willing, Lord, to love on us and bring in these people and answer our prayers. I want to thank all of you for your intercession, because intercession has brought many things to my life, brought me out of danger. Thank you, Daisy, into safety, and others that have literally saved my life, even not knowing that you've saved my life. And this kind of love I found here. I know this is my home because when I'm hurt, this is where I come. Isn't that what happens, you know? When you're hurt, you want to come home. Oh, I shouldn't have done that. But I thank you for loving me anyway. Amen? How precious. We are a family. We're all one. You can see it in the people in the book of Acts, those first believers, how close they were. They're closely knit together, one family. And they prayed for each other. They were in danger. They gave up all their possessions. You know, the Romans came in, took everything. They had to move quickly in the night to one place to another. There were dangers everywhere. But God answered their prayers. And what those are the miracles we read about, you know, Peter getting out of jail and angels showing up and all this kind of stuff. So I think we're going to have that kind of thing happening all the time. If you talk to people that are from these persecuted countries, she works for Voice of the Martyrs, and they've had a lot more activity in these past couple of years than ever before. And now we need to join with these groups that are interceding and praying for them in these persecuted countries. We have some of our own, you know, that have gone out. I know martyrs personally. I don't like to accept too much honor from other people because I've known other people that have given their lives. Eliana lost her thumb a couple of years ago, building her church, you know. And now she had to change her profession because she couldn't do nursing anymore because she couldn't do the IVs or give shots, you know. So she was out of that career. And so now she's teaching school for the nuns. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And she still pastors her church. She has a family prayer center of Iquitos, in Iquitos, Peru. She's had it 15 years now and does a great job. But pray for all these things. I guess my only needs personally would be that I can keep going. So I do need support because I got to pay for planes, taxis, whatever, to get me from here to there to here to there, because that's what I do. I travel from Lima. I live in Lima, the capital city, because it's a centralized government and all the planes go out from there. So I go to Trujillo in the north. I go up on the coast. I go all the way up to Ecuador, to the border of Colombia, into the Amazon River Basin. All of the cities in the mountains, I have, most of them I've been to. In the southern part of Peru, on the border of Chile, I was there in October, November last year, Tacna and Ilo. And when I landed there, you have to take a plane from Lima to Tacna in the mountains. And then a taxi, colectivo, which is a car packed full of people and produce and whatever. And you drive 2 hours down to the coast, down the mountain, and to the coast, to the city where I was going to. And when I landed there, I had my luggage, and I've been traveling all day, and I'm standing on the curb, and I hear sirens go off like the tornadoes. And I go, tornadoes? here? I don't think so. So I heard the sirens, and real loud, you know. And then people started running and scattering and going everywhere. And I'm standing on, and I had that wonderful peace of God. I'm not sure what's going on, but it's okay. And next thing I know, people are running past me. And one of them said, "Tsunami, tsunami, tsunami, get to higher ground, tsunami." And I go, "Oh, so that's what's going on." They had an earthquake on the border of Chile there. I don't know if you heard about it last year, right at the time that I landed. And all I could think of was the spiritual tsunami, which is that banner right there, you know. I had seen it in the spirit, how that wall is going to come down and the water is going to come up and it's going to pour out in revival over this city. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I'm waiting on that revival. Hallelujah. And it's starting. It's starting. You know, the first thing that happens in a tsunami is the water pulls back. Huh? Apostasy, the great falling away. Look at not many people. People run and scatter and everything. And then it mounts up and mounts up and mounts up. And then whew, look out when it pours out, because it's going to pour out everywhere, hard and fast. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's stand on our feet for a minute. It's good to move. Glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It's so good. Thank you for giving me the opportunity tonight to be with you. I so much love you. I just ask that you pray for those needs and for the missionaries who are continuing to go forth. And I know a lot of you, too, have experienced many of this. Several people here have been to Peru, right? You've been to Peru. Hallelujah. You probably never forget it either, right? Peru is a third world country. It's not exactly like here. Sometimes it can get a little rough. But hallelujah. So we're family, you know. Hallelujah. You're all welcome to come. You're all invited, you know. But we'll see if you can handle it, okay? I won't send you into any rough areas you can't handle. Glory to God. But God is doing a work. Hallelujah. Okay. Lord Jesus, let's just lift our hands, get in the presence of God. If anybody wants prayer tonight, I'm certainly willing to pray with you. For whatever your needs are, we do that at the end of our service. That's just what we do. So I'm here for that. If anybody has not received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, we definitely want you to make sure in your own heart and life that you have taken the steps that you need to take in order to move into the power of God, because He loves you and He wants you to have this. It's for you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we give you all the praise and all the honor and all the glory for the work you're doing throughout the world. Thank you for this report, the opportunity to give the report. We lift up the nations to you right now that are coming into elections, that godly leadership will come forth. We pray for the United States of America and the elections that are coming up. And we thank you, Lord, that you have a reason for everything that you do. You are such a wise God, and we love you. We just ask you to continue leading us in our prayer and our decisions, that we could give you honor and glory in our lives. Use us, Lord, everyone. Where we haven't stepped forward before, just take that extra step of faith. It's okay. God's there. He said, "I've already finished the work anyway." It comes from a place called done. It's already done. We just step into it and receive it. That's our God. He's not leaving us as orphans. He said, "I will come to you. I won't leave you without comfort." He's taking care of your needs. I don't know how I get all my needs met, but they always are. You know? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We give you praise, Lord. We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We give you praise. Thank you for holiness, Lord. Continue your cleansing work of mortification in us, Lord God. Help us to get this message across, Lord. We have to die to self. Once we die to self and get that fleshly, lustly things out of the way, Lord, we can move forward in your revival, Lord God. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for making a way where there is no way. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the cross. You paid the price. You took the suffering. You took the sin, Lord God. Sin does not have dominion over me. It shall not have dominion over me or my brothers and sisters. Everything was defeated right there, Lord. It was all taken care of. Thank you, Lord God. I trust you. I believe in you. I know you're doing it, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for all the needs of my brothers and sisters, too, Lord God. I just lift them up to you right now, Lord God. We trust you, Lord, with our problems. We trust you, Lord, with our finances. We trust you, Lord, with our family. We trust you, Lord God, to bring us through any trial. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you love us, Lord, much more than we can even imagine. Thank you, Lord, that you go places where we can't go. You do the impossible. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise you. Just praise him. Hallelujah. Let's sing a little bit, and then if you can come forward if you want prayer.